אם מישהי צריך תרגום מאנגלית לעברית, אז אפשר, עומרי, יכול לעשות את זה מאחורה. Don't be shy. It's really okay. אם מישהו צריך. שומעים אותי? אחורה גם? כן, לא? אוקיי. אחורה כן, אבל אחורה, אחורה בינוני. אוקיי. So the topic tonight is what's behind our experience. And the peacock knows. But we're here having experiences all the time. Every minute we're experiencing something and it changes. And we kind of don't even know that it's an experience. We just say, that's life, that's the way things are, that's the way I am, that's what's happening. We actually forget that it's an experience. We know it intellectually, but I can't meditate for 5 minutes. My body's restless. My mind's going crazy. It's just an experience. No, it's not experience. It's the truth. It is an experience. The problem is that our experiences are mostly about coping, hitmodudut, managing, doing, working, dealing with issues, with relationships, with the world. And the world's getting more and more difficult all the time. And so our experiences get tied into managing, surviving. And we experience it right here with this mind that's busy trying to get it better. I should be more quiet. But the mind is going crazy wanting to be quiet. And it's the reflecting our life, which is a bit crazy, trying to get it right, trying to be okay. So we come to a retreat and we want really another way of being. We want relief from all of that. That's a lot of pressure, a lot of busyness, a lot of struggle, which we believe to be the truth and the only thing. And what happens in a retreat is we get close to our experience. And that's both saving us and also our problem. We begin to get close to our experience. There's no escape. We sit here 45 minutes boiling. Roteach, mind, body, heat, temperature, outside, inside. But it is doing the work that we need to do, which is to get close to this phenomena called experiencing something. Experiencing. Chavod lanasot, leitnasot. And we begin that. What happens here is we begin to get a different way of looking at our experience, at understanding our experience. Maybe we can love our experience a little bit more, just as it is, even though it seems out of control. Can we care for this experience? Because it's our experience. It's what is going on right now. It's us right now. We are not someone else. We are not somewhere else. This is the moment. This is the only moment. Actually, there isn't another moment. And in this moment, this is how I am. Can we stop and care for that? Look at it differently, love that. With all the problems. And we begin to then understand something. We can understand what limits us. We can understand a little bit, what is our prison? Where are we tied? And as soon as we understand that, the limits, we can get a hint of limitless, what is beyond the limits. We meet the limits in order to know also what is not in the limits. So the Buddhist practice is not really about heaven and earth and retreat, and you know it yourself. A retreat is a beautiful heavenly realm with the flowers dropping from the gods and the beautiful silent space and love, and you know, this is the rainbow which we chase. We come out of that place. I think maybe some of us a bit pissed off that we've come out, that we're not in that place. We'd want to have a little bit more heaven instead of this struggling body-mind that I'm sitting with for hours. We want a bit more heaven, a bit more rainbow. But we do need to look more carefully at this, at what is an experience and what is it made of, and why is it like this, and what is the struggle. And one way that is just beyond us, it's not in our hands, is to really understand that a body that is born and dies will look at everything from that place of born and dying, wanting to be better. It has a beginning and an end. I want it like this. I don't want it like that. That's very, very basic. So much so that in the tradition it's called the winds of the world. Ruchot, the winds of the world. That we want to exist and not die. We want to be part of and not separate. We want to have and not to lose. Every animal, every ant, you have a line of ants. If you push one ant away from its sangha, it immediately runs back. I want to go back. So the worldly winds are really not in our hands. They are part of being born. The fact of being born is the beginning of this cycle of coping and the experiences that we experience. And so the Dharma is very much about the truth of things. It's not about chasing rainbows. The rainbows come when we realize we are rainbows. We don't need to chase any rainbow, but we can't just have it as a belief. We have it as an experience also. The rainbow, and I am the rainbow, it's shining from me. And slowly, slowly, when we meet experience, we can begin to purify the experience, letaheroto, to refine it, lezakek. Talking about shining, I just found this. Another English guru, John Lennon. But it's really about this. Just a few, in one of his songs called Instant Karma. Instant karma's gonna get you. It's gonna knock you off your feet. Better recognize your brothers, everyone you meet. Why in the world are we here? Surely not to live in pain and fear. Why on earth are you there when you're everywhere? Come and get your share. Well, we all shine on like the moon and the stars and the sun. Yeah, we all shine on. Come on and on and on. It's very lovely. We do shine somewhere inside, but at the same time we have this weight of experience that seems that is the result of the worldly winds. It's important, this teaching, because we don't have to take the whole thing personally. We can blame the worldly winds. When we shout at our partner, whatever, next time, and they say, how can you talk to me like that? So it's not me, it's the worldly winds. The important thing to understand is that we build a world from this experience. We construct a world. We say the world is like that. Which starts very, very basically, you know, the tree is like that, a body is like that, my life is like that. In order to survive, I need to be like that, or I need to get this, or that has to happen. And we build a world according to that world, the worldly winds, what my needs are, what I'm missing, surviving better there, or there, or this, or that. And there's a lot, the culture is, and the planet is just loaded with our needs of human beings that are just impossible. So how do we begin to do that? What do we do here? The first thing is to kind of look at the layers that are existing in us. A thought that we have, look at it. What's it saying, actually, as an experience? It comes by itself, it goes by itself, but what is this experience I'm having right now, this thought? Let me meet you. What is this experience of restlessness in the body? Even if Leela and Stephen say, love your body. This restless body is just a nuisance sitting. I can't. We begin to be able, with a certain innocence, to allow experience. Say, this is the experience coming up right now. This thought, this restless body, this busyness in the mind, this tiredness, this boredom, also this relief, this insight, and the ants on the road, and each other here, as if we're kind of inviting experience. Like I use the word, be available to experience. We need to become available to our experience, to ourselves. Yes, I'm here, I'm listening. And this gives us a lot of support, because those of you that are having a struggle here, understanding that it's the nature of things, it's okay, and the best thing we can do is say, yes, it's a struggle, but I'm available. I don't seem to be able to get 3 breaths in a row or any quiet, but at least I'm available to the experience of a crazy mind. This is the experience of my crazy mind. I'm available. I'm here for you. I'm listening. I'm there. And so we can let go of the sense that a meditation needs to be, for example, quietness. Meditation is much more about allowing the truth of things to come up. And we do that by getting close, by being interested. And even the sense of loving our experience is a way where we don't run away from it, and we don't shut it down, and we don't kind of want to immediately give it a akamol. But we, the love we have for our experience, it is of course a healing act. It helps us to heal ourselves and the world, actually. But it's also a way of inviting experience without resistance. And that's why it's important as practice. To be close, to zoom in, to understand what's going on. There's, for example, lots of emotional storms going on. Okay, zoom in. What is happening to my tummy? What's happening? What do I feel here? That's enough. The whole world can be felt right here. You can actually, you don't need that much more. Or you can, it's like the whole program on a computer can be one icon on the screen, right? The whole thing is there, but it's packaged in a little icon. But that may be enough for us to actually begin to work with something like a complicated emotion that comes with a story and comes with memory and comes with a history. So we zoom in, we take things to pieces, we look at aspects like we were doing with the walking, breaking up experience into its elements so that we can hold and see each element at a time. Now this, now this, now this. It's like, instead of just having a great soup, we've sort of gone back and what's in the soup and what's it made of and how do we cut the vegetables and what we go back. So one of the places that helps us is the sense that we are a free person that's just dancing with changing experience. We're a free, free human being with a big awareness that is receiving and available to experience which is changing all the time. And there's something there which is very fundamental, very basic, and it's a trust in ourselves and trust in our awareness, really, and our capacity, this huge mind and huge awareness that we have. And we trust it. I'm a free being, aware, awake. I can write books. I can do computer programs and so on. I've got a big mind. I can love. I can see stars. And now let me look at one thought. A big, big person, a free person, allowing change passing by. Thoughts are very kind of classical as an object of meditation and also a problem. And here we also do need to take care of our mind. And that means not from the beginning to see thoughts as problematic or thoughts as trouble, but thoughts as an experience that come and go because conditions made that thought right now. Memory, some trigger, some association, whatever. The senses, the smell of lunch, and suddenly there's lunch, and suddenly there's speculation. What is lunch? And maybe the lunch is better than yesterday, or maybe it's worse than yesterday. Da 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 da. From the smell of cooking. Watch the way the mind is working with things, building up structures, and take care. We can love the mind. We don't need to be against it. We can love our mind. It's, as I say, a big mind. It's huge. And we can love the power we have to know. It's very mysterious. It's very wonderful. And actually, we can enjoy the story. It may seem like a bad movie, a second-rate movie in English. You say B movies. I remember as a child, we used to have the main movie, and then there was the B movie, which was sort of Sukhbet kind of afterwards. It was just stupid Western usually. So our mind, it might seem like a soap opera or a B movie, but still, that's what's happening. That's the story. That's the content of my mind right now. Okay, that's it. I love my thoughts. Even the wish to change the movie, to change the channel, even that's a thought. Even you, I'm here for you. So it's a kind of different relationship. And it begins to open also, you could say, the world of conditionality, of conditions. We begin to understand this thought is coming because of conditions that allowed it. This moment is happening because of all the conditions that built it. I am like this right now because of all the conditions that made me like this. I am born because of the conditions that made me like that. If the conditions weren't there, I wouldn't have been born anyway. And certainly wouldn't have been born in this funny shape. The conditions are everything. The conditions make this experience. And as we get closer to experience, we actually get closer to conditions. We see the way each moment is creating the next one. We see that we're not in charge of that. We don't design what's going through the mind. We don't plan it. We don't write a script, tasrit, and then the mind goes according to that. We begin to get close to conditionality, and that's a really important understanding. That's a real insight in the Pali Paticca Samuppada. The way we construct our world, which can be this thought, or it can be this feeling, or it can be the tiredness, or it can be the sound of the peacock, we construct this world based on conditions, such as what's interesting for me right now, what's important for me to think, what happened just before, what's my mind like, DNA, what's my need, or what I don't want, where am I going, what are my choices, and all of that building this moment, unconsciously mostly, we don't know we're doing that. So this moment is put together by conditions. And as we live this one day together, we can see thousands of experiences are happening with the conditions are constantly changing and creating the next moment and the next moment. This word I'm saying now is because of all the words that were said before. And this moment now is because of all the moments that happened just before creating this moment. So we're put together by conditions. And it really maybe can help us just let go. Okay, I just let go. I let myself be, I trust, I let myself be taken. Life is calling me, I just let go. It's fine. And it can help us to go to that place if we feel we're not in charge of everything. I must be different. I must be better. This has to be different. This thought has to be changed. I have to fix something here or there. It's like conditions. I know it feels a little bit like this song of karma, instant karma. Like it feels like we're a bit helpless because just conditions are happening. But actually, there's a wisdom there which helps us to act in life and to be at ease with life. To be at ease, ninochut. Because of course we also create conditions. We created the conditions by coming to this retreat, we create the retreat. So we create conditions. It's not passive, but we have a different view of how things work and how our experiences, this particular experience is coming up. So we feel more freedom to dance with things that happen, to dance with the sense that we're not in charge and we're not in control, to dance with life, with the music. We will begin to feel a little bit more we're just dancing with what happens. And it's a taste of our freedom. So what's behind experience? Well, there's an experiencer, and there is awareness. It's a big word. Awareness, consciousness, mudaut. But without, we wouldn't experience. So let's have a moment to reflect on that. The experience is born from awareness. Nice images in the Tibetan tradition of the mother and the child. And the mother is the awareness, and the child is the experience that comes from that. And it's like the sky is the awareness and the clouds are passing by. And we may get a sense of that. Okay, the day, I think maybe it's a little bit subtle to kind of really meet awareness in its sort of total sense. But if we look at the whole day, if we look at, very simply, presence, being here, being, just being here, right? All of us right now are aware and awake. We're all listening to the peacock, more interesting than Stephen anyway. But there's something that is behind everything, which is that we're totally aware, that we know we're here, there is beingness, there is a knowingness, there is a presence. And never mind all the days full of thoughts and experiences, a million experiences, but that stays. That sense of knowing is behind it all, is the source. It's like metehom, ground, water under the ground. It comes up in, comes from our taps, it comes from the springs, mayanot. But underneath is like huge water that is invisible. So one of the places that we can, it's a more spiritual place, but we can pay attention to it in one way or another, whatever feels right for us, to be interested in awareness and not just in the products of awareness. So it's like a bit like the space in the room. Actually, you know that there is this image of the elephant in the room, Piu Bacheda, and it's when there's something that we don't want to see, and then slowly we begin to face it, and that's what's happening to us, I think, bit by bit here. We've got meeting our elephants in the room that we maybe wanted to leave somewhere else in the zoo. But here we are. The elephant appears, can be a problem, can be an issue, can be a struggle. But what actually happens is when we see the elephant, we also see the room. And it's going back to what I said before, when we see experience, we also can see something beyond. When we see our limits, gives us a taste of the limitless, what is beyond limits, in whatever way we pick it up, many, many ways. Awareness is basically invisible. It doesn't have qualities. It doesn't have a label on it. We can't describe it. You know, the philosophers have been trying for thousands of years. It's basically invisible, but we see it from its results. And we also see it in ourselves because it's expressed as moments of quiet, or moments of silence, or moments of just okayness, which we don't know where that come from. We don't have a label saying it's that, but we can feel it, moments of quiet, or maybe more than moments, and something in us knows that it's because of a ground under my feet of knowing, of awareness, of presence, of being with things, of being with life, of being with the sky above and the earth beneath, this being with, this hitmazgut, the absorbing into life. And we can notice that by it, it has a good feeling, a deep okayness in it. The Buddha described himself as Tathagata, and that means gone to tat. And the closest in English is simply that. Tat is that, but it's Sanskrit. It's just, it is. No description, no labels, no qualities. Not gone to bliss, or gone to beyond, or gone to the ultimate, or it's just gone to that. And it's interesting because it's kind of it is. In the end, that's it. That. Actually, I didn't think about it, but it's also in Hebrew. You say Tathagata. You could be Igati le that. It's almost. It all comes from Sanskrit, but it also. It's not only I went to that, but I come from that. In from my understanding of the Sanskrit, both meanings are the same: gone to that, or come from that. And what is that? Right now, it's the cry of the peacock. But I'm going to this spiritual place because, first of all, it's under what we're doing. That we can keep fixing ourselves and fixing problems and fixing our psychology and going to coaching and going to the gym and to the cheder kosher and keep on. But in the end, there's something underneath that says, wait, I can't keep on fixing myself all my life. And then we rest in the spirit, in something spiritual. And it is under what we're doing. It's underneath the Dharma. It's underneath any spiritual path that's authentic. And so I have no apologies in bringing it here, because it gives meaning to everything else. Everything that appears can be seen differently if we understand that it's coming from that place of awareness, of some totality of awareness, of the ground of awareness, of the underground of that makes it possible, of the sources of our experience. It's like I saw an image from an Indian sage that said, we give thanks to the water in the well because it shows us the moon. It's very lovely. We give thanks to the consciousness, the awareness that gives us ability to see a thought. That the water in the well reflects the moon, so we see the moon because of this water. So awareness is all the time working. We don't see it, it's behind, but it's all the time creating experience, it's working, it's the creativity of life, it's the creativity of awareness, it's the bubbling life, if you like, that is making our experience, that is making experience not only of us, of every ant. And it's up to us, in a way, here and there, to touch it where we can, to trust it. We can't really catch it, but we can trust it. And the way to meet consciousness itself is really just trust it, which is a bit like faith, but it's more than that. It's faith and interest, and it's not something that we have to believe in as beyond. We trust it as the source of things, the limitless that gives rise to the limited. And it is behind our experience. And it gives us a relief also that I don't have to be totally drowned and under this experience right now. There's something deeper underneath that's just bubbling moment by moment experiences. And it takes away the pressure on us. And of course, it's the most inspiring place that we can imagine, and the most divine. Okay, so let's take a moment of quiet. it's time for some walking. And then 9 o'clock there's a sitting here. And as you walk, I'll leave you with this question from John Lennon, who says, why on earth are you there when you're everywhere? So you can walk with that.